I hope you bear with me. You know, I'm filling in for Pastor, and I cannot fill his shoes. But I hope I can share with you a message that I have, believe it or not, already prepared. You see, I'm not a pastor, but I am getting prepared to go to camp. And this week, I am a dean at the camp, and I am teaching freshmen about hope. So I have a lesson on hope for you today, and I hope you bear with me because I am practicing for tomorrow, okay? And I'm going to know what I did wrong by the time we are done here, and I can fix it, right? So I'm going to go through the first lesson that I have for them, and that is a lesson on knowing hope, okay? Are you ready for this? Let's do this. Are you ready for this? Let's do this. Well, I got to back up. There it is. No hope or no hope. N-O hope. No hope. There is a world that we live in where people do not have hope, right? They have a lot of other things, but they're searching for something and they can't find it. They have no hope. And then there are those of us that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that know hope. K-N-O-W, hope, right? That is what our lesson is about. But when I start, I gotta tell you, I need participation because I'm practicing for this coming week. And to start out, I have some trivia questions about knowing hope or no hope. And I have some papers sit on both sides of the stage here, and I'm going to have you guys volunteer, hopefully, to come up. One on one side, one on the other side. And I have questions, trivia questions for you. If you know the answer, I want you to hold up the paper that says that you know hope. Right? If you don't know the answer, I want you to hold up the other side of the paper that says no, N-O, to hope. Now, there are five over here, and there are five over here so we can keep our distance. But I need our first set of volunteers, one for each side. And I hope that we get a combination of everybody in the church to participate with this. It's going to be a little bit more relaxed and a little bit fun at the beginning, I hope. So we have our first person here. Come on, we need somebody here. All right. No, you got to stand up here so everybody can see what you're doing. Damon, come on up here. Just one at a time. All right. Damon's first with Mike. Here's your first question. This is going to be trivia about the state of Idaho and CUNA. The information I got on the state of Idaho came from their official state website, and the information I got from CUNA came from the CUNA City Council. If you don't agree with it, talk to them. Okay, but it's not going to be hard. Okay, so if you know the answer, hold up the no, K-N-O-W. If you don't, hold up the N-O. Okay, here's the first one for Damon and Michael. In what year did Idaho become a state? Michael says N-O, but Damon says K-N-O-W. Damon, what is it? 1872. I see somebody in the audience that probably knows, but I'm going to show you. It was actually in 1890. July 3rd, 1890, Idaho became the 43rd state in the Union. Well done, gentlemen. You can have a seat. Now, we have Jilly up here, and we need somebody else. Come on up. Somebody over here on this side. Do I choose them myself? Let me see. All right. Thank you. I don't have to volunteer. Told you, he came up. All right. You ready for this one? Maybe. What is the official nickname for the state of Idaho? Do you know or do you know? Oh, they both say they know. We're going to say ladies first. Potatoes. Famous potatoes? Okay. The Gem State. Let's see what it is. It is the Gem State. It's a reference to Idaho's natural beauty. I was hoping Ashton, my youngest daughter, was in here because in her entire life, I have referred to Idaho as the great state. We live in the great state of Idaho. She thought that was the nickname until this year. Right? She is 20 years old. Right? But it is the Gem State, and it's in reference to the beauty of the state of Idaho. Okay, I need two more volunteers. Come on up. Allison, you pointed her out. Come on up. Oh, we got Allison's next up. Okay. To know, K-N-O-W, or to not know, N-O. Here's the next one for you. What does CUNA mean? Do you know? One says N-O, one says K-N-O-W. What does it mean?
The end of the trail.
Oh, the end of the trail. You know what? It is believed the translation of the name CUNA means the end of the trail. All right, Allison, who do you want to compete against? Choose somebody out there, like your husband. Oh. I need somebody over on this side to come on up. Anybody.
If I can hold a toll, I'm going to volunteer.
That's right.
Angela was next.
Okay, this is going to be one of the most tough ones that we have. In what year was CUNA incorporated as a city? That was so fast. No. And no. You know, CUNA actually, we're looking at their website, CUNA had its first building here in 1881, right? But that was because of the railroad, and then after the railroad left, it actually left the area for a while. CUNA didn't get incorporated until 1915. September 13, 1915. I have one more. So I need two more volunteers. Anybody? All right. I got one. I need one. Oh, this is going to be a duel. Okay, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. She had better win. All right. This is the last one. I think a lot of people in the audience will know this one. In what year was the CUNA Baptist Church built? Do you know or do you not know? Raise it up. The original church. Okay, one says N-O, one says K-N-O-W.
1933.
You were close. Okay. The actual church was built and completed on December 5th, 1915, and it was the first completed church in CUNA. It had 14 members. Now, there were other churches that were meeting at that time, but none of those other churches yet had built a facility. So CUNA was the first, CUNA Baptist was the first. Now, I'm going to tithe our trivia, thank you for participating, right, with the lesson I have for you. I hope I can tie it together anyway, right? And this is what it's all about. Oh, I got to back up. As you look around in the world today, we see that there's three types of people that we have everywhere we go. And the first type of people we see are those people who are afraid. Those are the people that are in our hometowns, in our states, in the nation, and all across the globe that are afraid. And they're afraid of all kinds of things. They're afraid of getting sick. Some are afraid of dying. Others are afraid of being left alone, especially in this time of COVID-19 where they're quarantined without friends and family. Then there are people who see the worst in the world, and they have the fears of the worst things that happen in the world. Those are the people that are concerned about the crime that is rampant across our nation, right? People are rioting in this nation and around the world. They have no respect for anything. They have no faith in the police anymore. They have no faith in our politicians. They have no faith in our government. Their outlook on their future, and their outlook on death is grim. They don't know what to expect. They don't think it's going to get better. And there are those that don't even believe in God. Isn't that interesting? However, there are others that believe in God, that there is a God, but he is a God that would not do anything bad to them. Right? Most of these people, I can't say all of them, but most of these people are not sure of what awaits them after they die. But they don't believe it's going to be bad. I don't know about you guys, but I have grown up around people that say, they joke about hell. And they say that you're going to go to hell and I'll meet you there. It'll be a great time, right? We will party together in hell. They have no concept what hell is. They don't understand what will happen to them if they are not saved by grace, right? They are the people that I'm talking about that have no hope. N-O, hope. Now, we have a second type of people that I'm gonna refer to them as religious people, so bear with me, right? Religious people. And when we compare the first type of people, the ones that have no hope, N-O, hope, with religious people, there's a great difference. There's a great difference in them. Right, don't get me wrong. You know, those religious people, they still have the same fears. They get afraid of being alone and being sick. They're afraid of dying, some of them. They're afraid of being left alone, especially now. We know religious people who are afraid of being left alone. We know some of those people personally, and they are alone without friends and family, right? But there's religious people, for the most part, don't have that same fearful outlook when it comes to their future. Or even death. They have a different outlook. Now, here's the problem. There is a difference in the people that are religious. Some think they know hope, but they're mistaken. Does that make sense? They think they know hope, but they are mistaken. They believe when they die, they will enter the kingdom of heaven because of their actions. Of what they do, what they can accomplish in this life. Think about that. I can tell you that for years, for 20 years as a police officer, I worked with a lady who is the nicest person I know. By far, the nicest individual I've ever met. She believed that her good deeds were going to help her enter the kingdom of heaven. So we have these people that are religious, and they believe that they're going to go to heaven based on certain things. Some think that it's based on just believing that there is a God, that he is out there, the creator of the universe. He made everything. He's all-knowing, all-powerful. That's all I need to know, and I can go to heaven. There are others that say that I pay my tithes. I give to the church. I give for God's work. I am going to heaven. Some of them think that just the good deeds that they do or the fact that they're good people will get them into heaven. Now you have other people who think they're going to get heaven based on more religious style things. Some of them think that they're going to go to heaven just because they've been baptized. We have others that say, I'm going to heaven because I go to church. We know people that think that they can come to the church, be in the building, be here religiously, come every Sunday for their entire life. And that is what's going to get them into the kingdom. Now we have other people who think that they believe in the teachings of other people who are considered prophets like Muhammad or maybe Buddha or even Joseph Smith. And they believe in their teachings and believing in those teachings will get them into the kingdom of heaven. But they're mistaken. They're wrong, right? The Bible says that none of that matters. None of that saves them. None of them gets them into the kingdom of heaven. The Bible makes it clear there is one way to get into heaven. And that way is mentioned right here in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Did you catch that? Not by your works. There's nothing that we can do that will get us saved, get us that entrance into the kingdom of heaven. We cannot work our way there. We can't do enough good. We can't pay enough money to get into the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's another verse. If you look at Acts 4:12, it says, "For there is salvation in nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." If you think about the book of Acts, it was written by Luke. And Luke was referring to Jesus Christ. He was referring to Jesus Christ. No one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So when you look at all those people and those things, you get a little concerned. But now we need to talk about the third type of person. There are those religious people. I think most of those people that are right here in this room who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are the people that are true believers. You know, we can't even use the word Christian anymore, because the word Christian is kind of a common term that is used no matter where you go, right? You can have people that are of different faiths, whether they are Catholic or Mormon or whatever they may be, they say that they're Christian. You know, I was going to say not too long ago, but it was about 10 years ago, my wife and I went to Vietnam. There's not a lot of Christians in Vietnam. Most of it is Buddhism and things of that nature. But you know what? Their brochure, when you show up there, says that they are a Christian nation. And not only are they a Christian nation, they are about 95% Christian. But when they list all of their religious beliefs on there, there is not many that are true Christians. So I like to separate them between those that are religious and true believers. True believers are the ones that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, right? They are the ones that know hope. K-N-O-W, hope. Now, I love this. Billy Graham said, for the believer, there is hope beyond the grave, because Jesus Christ has opened the door to heaven for us by his death and his resurrection. He went on to say, for the believer, the cross tells us that God understands our suffering. At the cross, he took it upon himself, all our sins and our failures and our sufferings. Not only that, what do you think of this? On the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ asked that question, why? You think about it. My God, why have you forsaken me? You want to know something? He knew the answer. He knew God's answer. K-N-O-W. No, he knows the answer, right? And that answer is this: to redeem the world, to save you, to save me from our sins, to give us assurance that if we died, we are going to heaven. That's the answer. He knew that. And no matter about the hard times that we feel that we are dealing with, like the current situation in our nation right now, the COVID-19 problem that we have across the nation, across the world. You know, all those issues point us beyond the tragedy of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and more importantly, it points us beyond the grave. You know what it does? It tells us that there is hope for eternal life, because Jesus Christ conquered death. No matter what trials, what temptations, what pain we're facing, we have always got the hope that God extends to us. We have that hope that God extends to us. That hope is a gift of eternal life made possible through God's Son, made possible through Jesus Christ. Now, this is the believer's hope. Now, I told you that I'm teaching this to a bunch of high school kids. This is the believer's hope. It's not just for high school kids. It's for all of us. Right? More importantly, if you look at the Bible, you can see that hope is found in the promises God has given us in Scripture. And there are hundreds of verses that talk about hope. There are 177 alone that have the actual word hope in it. There are others that talk about hope in different ways, right? But hundreds of them. So now that I've talked about that, let's tie that trivia game in with what we're talking about with that hope. When we played that game, there were some of you who knew you did not know the answer to our trivia questions, and you held up the no, right? Those are like the first type of people that we talked about that have no hope, N-O, hope. Then we have that second group of people that thought they knew the answer, but they were mistaken. They said they know, K-N-O-W, the answer, but they were wrong. Think about it, right? When we did our trivia, that there were some that were not sure. Okay? That's like the second group of people that we talked about, those religious people that think they know about hope, but they're mistaken. They're missing a key ingredient, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. The third one is the one, and it's referring to those of you that knew the answer, and you held up K-N-O-W because you knew the correct response to our trivia question, right? That is like the third type of person that we talked about, that true believer, the one who knows hope and has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, if you haven't been saved and you don't know that hope, if you're not a true believer or you want to, if you want that hope, we're going to talk about it right now. I told you this is a very basic fundamental thing, but it's so important. And not often do we get this portion of a message in our churches anymore. But I want to talk about the plan of salvation, what it takes for us to enter the kingdom of heaven so that we can know hope. The first thing that we need to know is the Bible explains it all. It tells us everything. And if you want to know about having that hope and how you can have that true hope, it's ensured by believing in what the Bible says, right? Now, this is the deal. If you look at Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." You know what? That means every one of us. Every one of us are sinners. And if we were to get what we deserve, we would be all cast into hell. Because we do not deserve God's grace. We cannot work and do anything to better ourselves. Matter of fact, God's word says all of our works are as filthy rags, right? We have all sinned and fall short of His glory. We cannot achieve that on our own. But in Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." Think about that. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. It goes on to say, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord," in Romans 6:23. Isn't that great? The wages of sin is death. So what we deserve for all the things that we do and the way we live our lives is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We need to know that stuff. Now, it's important to know how do you get that gift. And that's where Romans 10:9 comes in. And that is this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't you love that? I challenge you to look in your Bibles and you look at that verse right there, and I guarantee you it does not say you might be saved. Or if you do a few additional things, you could possibly be saved. It flat out tells you the truth. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. All right? And it also says this in Romans 10:13, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, there are people out there without hope. And some of those people say they have no hope because of what they have done in life, the life that they have lived up to this point, right? The bad things that they have done, or the fact that nobody loves them. Well, they are so wrong. God loves us. God loves us. And He wouldn't wish any of us to perish, right? It says right that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means every one of us have that option, that free will to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, whoever calls on Him. It doesn't say that, "Jim, if you call on Him, it's too bad. You're not the one I want." Right? It says, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, that's the end of my message. I pray that you know hope. K-N-O-W, hope. All right. With that, shall we close in a word of prayer? Father, we come before You, and we thank You and we praise You for who You are, that You are a sovereign God, that You are King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank You that You've given us a way to enter the kingdom of heaven, and we can know that through Your word, through Your scripture, Lord. And we pray that each one of us would actually know that we would know the plan of salvation, that we would know that Your Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and that He was resurrected on the third day, and He did this for us. Father, we pray that each one of us will have accepted Him as our Savior, that we would know in our hearts that He did this for us, and that we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that each one of us this day would know that before we leave this building, that we are bound for eternity in the kingdom of heaven, that we truly know the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd watch over us and bless us. We think of those that aren't with us here. We think especially of our pastor and his family. We pray that you lift them up, encourage them, keep them close to you. Watch over them and protect them, Lord, and strengthen them in all ways. Again, we thank you and we praise you for your many blessings upon us, and we say this in your name. Amen. Now, I ended early, which is kind of surprising, right? Because my wife says I talk way too much. But I've changed the last song in your message today. I hope you'll bear with me. This is one that has been going through my mind all night and all day. Are you ready? This is actually I Love You, Lord. You guys know this song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet. Shall we do it one more time? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. I hope you have a blessed day.